Yes, Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me, let it fade away.
Your desire tonight to be closer to Him. I believe the closer we get to Him, the more that this old world will just fade out of you. Is that your desire to be close to Him tonight? There's nothing in this world to pull a child of God out to it. It has nothing to offer. Nothing whatsoever. Matter of fact, it has everything to run from. This world offers you everything to run away from. Is that right? Greet somebody in the name of the Lord tonight. Tell them you're glad to see them at camp meeting 2013. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little bit more of that tonight. And the boys, play the song. Play the song. Play the song. Play it, Josiah. Play it. Oh, Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Take a lead. Take a lead.
I desire to worship and obey.
Oh, give him a big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Worship and obey is entirely two different things. Now, everybody can worship. In some way, they can worship. But it ain't everybody that can obey. How many of you want to obey? Obedience to the Word entitles you to every promise. You love the Lord tonight? Isn't it good to be part of camp meeting? Give Him another hand clap of praise tonight. Oh, now Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to You. Oh, let the world around me, let it fade away. They say, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we look at our prayer request. Brother Amos offers this testimony tonight. I'm going to take the time to read it to you. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. It's been a number of months now since my wife, Sister Lisa, was hospitalized with a very serious condition that could have taken her life. God has restored her health back. What was such a difficult and frightening thing to go through has turned out to be a blessing in disguise. Romans 8:28 is more real to us than ever. While in the hospital, she was abruptly taken off a medicine that she had been on for a long period of time. This was a great concern to us, but she has done wonderfully well on the new medication that she has switched to. We had prayed that she would only need to take the minimum dosage, and so far the Lord has granted our request. The doctors seemed very pleased. It took some time to regain strength back, but she is her old self again, which is quite scary. Now, Brother Amos didn't say that. I said that. Brother Amos, I'll get you off the hook real quick here. He probably thought it, but he didn't say it. Continuing on with her testimony, one of the good things that came out of all of this was the tremors caused by the previous medicine have completely now disappeared. She was just talking about it this weekend, how happy she is that now she can raise her left hand to worship without the trembling that would have happened before. To God be the glory. Great things our Lord Jesus has done. Thank you to the saints both far and near, especially our pastor, Brother Donnie Reagan, and the church in Johnson City, Tennessee. Also, we thank Brother Hans Van Wyck and his congregation in South Africa and all the many saints that there are in the nations for sharing in their intercessions for Sister Lisa. So many prayed, and we are eternally grateful. May God bless you richly in your lives and endeavors for Him, Brother Amos Cutts. Somebody praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Amos, God bless you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Brother Fred Green says, I've had a burning urinary tract infection for years. They found a tumor in my bladder and removed it. The first time in 2 years I've been pain-free, and also I got over the brown recluse spider bite. Somebody say praise the Lord to that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for Sister Deanna Glenn for a toothache tonight. The Lord would touch her. Brother Daniel Barclay says that his mother took a fall. They're operating on her tonight to remove a hematoma from her back the size of a grapefruit. Her name is Veda Hall, so we certainly want to pray for that need tonight, that the Lord would be with her. Teresa White says, please help me pray about an unspoken prayer request. God's will be done, so we just commit that to the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Baker. He has been having some complications after surgery, so we just pray for his need tonight. Brother and Sister King, both not feeling well, unable to be in the service. Let's pray for them. Pray for Sister Susan Olive. She has a bad sore throat and a headache and hates to not be in the service tonight. Pray for her healing.
Sister Martha Sackris is this end to please pray for my niece Courtney and her new baby. They both have had several complications. Courtney now has a very bad headache, so we want to pray for that need tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of those situations. Well, we've read requests, we've read testimonies. How many of you know that our God is all-powerful? Our God reigns. People can say and do whatever they want to, but we're serving an almighty God. I believe Him tonight, don't you? Do you love Him with all your heart? Let's stand to our feet tonight. You have an unspoken prayer request you'd like for this group to pray about tonight. Brother Amos, come. If you would, take us to the Lord. Let's just commit these things into His hands tonight. Invite His presence into this service tonight. Brother Amos, God bless you, buddy.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, tonight we're so glad, Lord Jesus, for You being in our lives, Lord God. And we're so glad to be in You, Father God, tonight and be experiencing all the different things, Lord God, that Your life brings to us, Lord God. We thank You, Lord, we're not just a tree with a bunch of leaves on it, but Lord God, we can bear fruit, Lord, because we've been with You, Lord. We've been with the mate, dear God. And Lord, there's a relationship going on there, Father God. So we thank You, Lord Jesus, for that. Lord, we thank You for everything You've done, Lord God, in our midst, Lord. Truly, dear God, You've done some great things. You've answered many prayers, dear God. And Lord God, it just, we could have just a big book, dear God, with, in fine print, Lord. There wouldn't be enough of pages there to tell about all the different things You've done, dear God. But tonight, Lord Jesus, we have more requests, dear God. And we know that Your ear is not turned away from us, dear God. But Lord, Your ear is turned towards us tonight. You're not, Father God, out on some island, Lord Jesus, sipping away on some juice and say, just do the best you can. But Lord God, You're here with us, Lord. And we know that You're there interceding for us, dear God. And You're touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We realize, God, tonight there was a request mentioned, Lord, for a tumor, dear God, that's going to have to come off, Lord. We ask it, Lord, You'd guide the doctor's hand, Lord. And dear God, we know that the enemy would try to put fear in our hearts, Lord, and think maybe there'll be some of them spores or something that'll be left loose that the doctor won't get it all and they'll spread somewhere else. Dear God, we ask it in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father God, You'd guide that doctor's hand, not more than that, Lord. We're not afraid of what the enemy would try to do to us, dear God. But we hold to that promise, the word of God, God, tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name, Lord. Father God, for all the requests, Lord. Ones with the headache, dear God. Lord, I've never had that kind of a headache that's so head-splitting, although I've had, from time to time, I've had little things happen here and there. But dear God, it's awful, Lord Jesus, what I've been told. The pain and the blood pressure shooting up like that, dear God. We ask it in the name of Jesus, Lord. Be with each and every one that raised their hand. I especially pray for Sister Kim Brumfield, Lord, who was diagnosed, Lord, with that breast cancer, Lord. I ask it in the name of Jesus, Lord, that that evil spirit will leave her body. Father God, we take authority over the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. May the blood speak better things in the name of Jesus Christ. It speaks health. It speaks safety. It speaks everything that we would have need of in this life. Plus, it gives us the fruit of the Spirit. We thank You for that in Jesus Christ's name. We bless our brother tonight. We ask it in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Amos. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, come tonight. We'll receive the evening offering You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight, we welcome you to the service. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming this service tonight, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let me make just a couple of quick announcements, and we'll go right on into our service tonight. I have a couple of songs for you. I believe will be a blessing to you. This is in regard to, we'll announce this tonight and again in the morning, and everybody surely will have the message by then, but there'll be a drop-off household shower for Brother Gene and Sister Linda Kress, who lost everything in a house fire. It'll be Sunday, September the 22nd, from 3:30 till 5 at the Church Fellowship Hall. There will be a table set up in the Fellowship Hall for gifts to be dropped off during Saturday and Sunday services. On September the 21st and 22nd, they're registered at Walmart Drinks and Desserts. At the shower, if you have any questions, see Sister Deanna Glenn. Anyone wishing to donate larger household items, please call the Cresses. Their information is on the bulletin board. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's sing a song tonight. He looked beyond my fault, and He saw my need. And He decided a long, 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 long time ago
that he was big enough to do something about it. He's always been awful big enough to do something about it. He's always been able to take care of your needs. And his power is still real tonight. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Oh, to view the cross where Jesus died for me.
Bless you tonight. We're going to cut things just a little bit short here. We got a lot to get done tonight. Isn't it a privilege to be in communion service tonight? God bless you. You can be seated. Sister Tamika, if you'd come, give us a song tonight. Brother David Seiler is going to be giving us a song just in a few minutes after she sings. So let's enjoy a couple of songs. We'll go right on into the service. Isn't it good to be in church, Brother Terry? Brother Terry, it's good to be in church, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing for you this time.
Try to reach it for you, but I fall. Sometimes it seems so close and yet so far. Oh, I need another chance. I need to know your mercy. Please give me the strength to change within. I know that I'm not all that I should be. My weakness seems to get the best of me. But as long as you are near, I know that I will make it every step along the way. Please hear my prayer. A heart like yours is my desire. A heart like yours is what I'm searching for. Full of compassion and nothing wrong within. The faults and many failures that I see, they make me wonder why you thought of me. Lord, you led me on this flesh and you ignored my human frailties, for you knew I was your seed. My desire is to give my all to you. Lord, let me shed your light in all I do. Lord, I thank you for your touch, your grace and tender mercy. For they make me only long to be more like you. A heart like yours, Lord, that's my desire. A heart like yours, Lord, that's what I'm searching for. Full of compassion and nothing wrong. Please hear me, Lord. Give me a heart like yours. So much grace, so much kindness, Lord, so much faith, forever true, strong as the wind, but soft as the shadow. If just one, I could be. Nothing wrong within. Please hear me, Lord, and give me a heart like yours. Please hear me, Lord, give me a heart like yours.
Amen. Where's Brother David at? Come here, buddy.
Well, God has sent the bride's revival one more time like He did in the Bible. The Spirit of the Lord sweeping across this land. Well, go ahead, Satan. And surrender. There's nothing gonna hinder. Well, the coming of the Lord.
sent the bride's revival one more time like he did in the Bible. Well, the Spirit of the Lord sweeping across his land. Said it, this is the way that I read it. Mighty angel has descended in this hour. Well, there's a power moving for us. It's the third pull, yes, it's for us. The revival, yes, it's here for the bride. Hallelujah! God has sent the bride's revival one more time like he did in the Bible. Well, the Spirit of the Lord this land. Go ahead, Satan, and surrender. There's nothing going to hinder. Well, the coming of the Lord is at hand. Well, the prophet told the story. God sent another glory. Well, the power of the Lord is moving for the bride. It won't be just mechanics. It'll be
to be a part of that bride's revival. If you want to know what building it's held in, it's in this 170-pound body right here. Part of it anyway. You're 150, you're 220, whatever you are. If you want to know where it ain't in brick and mortar, it's right here. I'm a part of that revival, aren't you? Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 4 tonight, if you would. I've been under such anticipation of the service tonight. To be able to sit around the Word and to be together and to be able to have communion, break bread together in the presence of God. Of course, I know I'm kind of weird. I just love to go to church. I'm really addicted, honestly. I'm really addicted to going to church and serving God and I don't apologize for it either. Amen. Don't feel sorry for me if you do. I want to speak to you for a little while tonight. I don't watch my time because of the communion service. But I want to speak to you about a friend mistaken for an enemy. A friend mistaken for an enemy. Galatians 4:15. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. my heart just aches when I read this. Thinking the pain that it must have caused Paul when he was writing this. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, as we approach the throne of grace tonight, we do so with thanksgiving in our hearts, gratitude for all that you mean to us, all that you've done in our lives, Lord. Dear God, as we go to break the bread of life, we ask for a familiar hand to take the bread. Don't let it be mine, Lord. But would you take the bread into your hands tonight and break it before us? May we recognize that is you, because that's the way you broke it before. Heavenly Father, you know our needs tonight. They are many, for sure, but our God has so much more power than we can ever exhaust. We don't want to magnify how many our needs are and how great they are, but what we want to magnify is your power to meet them all. Lord Jesus, may you speak to us tonight. May there be an atmosphere created in this place that will be conducive for the Lord's Supper. Granted, dear God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. All of us, no doubt, have stood at times in our lives that we were so misunderstood, that we were totally branded something that we were not, that we were identified as something that we were not. To a Christian, to be identified as anything less than a child of God that loves the Lord with all of their heart, one that is trying to be submissive and trying to please the Lord, to me, it's one of the most difficult things for us to deal with as Christians. For anyone to say about Uriah that we are dishonest or not credible or we're liars or something like that, to a real Christian, oh my goodness, that's one of the worst things that could be said about you. Even though the person saying it might be lying, but yet that fear that we have as humans that someone else would hear it and it would affect their opinion of us. Why? Why do we even care about those sort of things? Because Christ is our life. And we want, well, look, everything else that we have in this world, none of it will go with us except for our character. Can you imagine the place now that Paul has come on this stage? As we looked at it last weekend, a worldliness is so moved into the church at Galatia that his position is no longer revered in the same way. They have actually moved in among the flock, among the sheep of God that he had been an instrument in God using to bring them to a conversion. And now the blessedness that they spoke of, you imagine for such a long time, they felt so honored that Paul would come and be there with them. They felt so honored to have him in their cities and to visit in their churches and to know that this great man of God had come by and all, my, many other places that he couldn't even go to. There was no way for him to be able to do it. And yet they would have been so honored and had an element of human pride, I guess we would say, to feel like that Paul had visited their churches and the power of God had moved among them and they'd been delivered under his ministry. And now he reminds them and asks them, where is that blessedness that you spoke of? What has happened to you that you've turned away from this love and this respect that you had for me? What was it that did it? Now, of course, we know from looking at it last week that it was the Judaizers, which was now trying to intercept the faith of these Galatian believers, and they were wanting to bring them back under an element of bondage. Now, they were heathen in their background. They were all kinds of different things that they'd come from, and they certainly would never take them back to the worship that they had under Zeus or many of these false gods. But what they was doing, they were still moving in the way that would be able to appeal to their human makeup. because that had not been converted. Now remember, they were Celtic, so this was their background. You know, if you've studied the Celtic, you know that the Druids and all this sort of thing, they were very superstitious people, they were very religious people, but they had a very different background and a very different makeup. So this was apparently something that would still appeal to them. Now you look at sin. Why is it every one of us that was sinners, we know that, born in sin, how come every one of us didn't ride Harley-Davidsons? Did all of y'all belong to a Harley Club before you got saved? Well, some of that was repulsive to you and you as a sinner. Why? You mean all sin don't appeal to all sinners? Did it? Some of you were high class devils. Some of you were low class devils. And some of you were no class devils. Why is it that sin has certain appeals? Certain things, even to this day, will appeal to a certain type of people, and other people say, I can't stand to be around that stuff. I hate that stuff. Yep, they've got their own taste for their own type of sin. And it's the same way when we come to Christianity, and the same way when we come to religion. Why isn't all the world Catholic? Because Catholicism does not appeal to everybody. Why isn't everybody Muslim? They never are and they never will be. Because it does not, Muslim religion does not appeal to everybody. Why don't everybody believe the message? Because the message don't appeal to everybody. And it's the same way when it comes to sin then, that because of certain makeups, certain appetites, certain sins that would come into even a certain background or a certain type of people. Other types of people, other classes of people, why, there's no way they would pass laws against that type of sin. And they would never get involved in it for no amount of money because it's just repulsive to them. And then when we become converted, whether or not you believe it, there is an element of that same thing in us that is left even after we get converted. It is called our human makeup, which gives us everyone different tastes. That's why all of us don't have on yellow shirts tonight. And gray suits. That's why we don't all wear, drive white vehicles or blue vehicles or red vehicles. We're all different. We have different tastes. And it's the same when it comes to the type of music we listen to. Some of you prefer all slow songs. You'd never have any fast songs here at the church if you had the control of the song service. Some of you don't like slow songs. You'd never have any slow ones. You'd have them all jubilee type. Some of you like evangelists that does this and one that does that. You can say, well, you have to have one head of the church and not 45. But why? Every one of us have different tastes. Now, are those tastes sin? No, not necessarily sin, but they would be different one from the other. Now, because of this Celtic background that the Galatians have, once they embrace the truth, and they have embraced it, once they embrace the gospel, the message of that hour, Satan knows them and he studies them and he sees there's certain things about them even after their conversion that was left in the human makeup. So they have certain weakness. So why come everybody in the message don't believe that Brother Branham was God? How come? How come everybody in the message don't believe that Brother Branham is God the Father, that Joseph Branham is Jesus the Son, and his son Isaac is the Holy Ghost? Now you and I say nothing but nuts believe that, but some of them nuts are just as genuine and sincere as you are. Come on now. How come that don't appeal to everybody? Of course it ain't going to appeal. How come everybody don't believe it? Every word Brother Branham said was, thus saith the Lord, and infallible. Most of you don't believe that. But yet there's people that around the message, it's the same with the message of the hour. Then there's a certain type of people that will believe certain things. They'll call it revelation, but it's really flesh elation. That's all it is. It's only their flesh. And if you look at their background, you'll be able to see their background when they were sinners and follow that right on up through. And you'll see why they believe what they believe now. Because, come on now, don't get quiet. It's exactly the same way. Now, here are these people with this type of background, and some of them had genuinely received the Spirit of God, and no doubt many of them had not, but some of them had, and they loved God, and they loved this messenger, but there was the human element which had not been converted yet, the human makeup, and it still leaned toward doing certain things. Now, for the Ephesian church, they never had to deal with this. Even as carnal as the Corinthian church was, Paul never had to deal with some of these issues that he did in the Galatian church. Why? Total different makeup. So the Holy Ghost is different? Oh no, you got one Holy Ghost, but that one Holy Ghost in different people's bodies, and then it'll affect. Come on now. And that human element is there. You might as well say amen because it's the truth.
But yet you look at different churches. Look at the Ephesian church. Look at the church of Galatia. All the different churches, and they've dealt with different problems. Why? Different Holy Ghost? Different type of Holy Ghost? A Galatian Holy Ghost? A Laodicean Holy Ghost? If we got a Happy Valley Holy Ghost, and then Evening Light Tabernacle has got an Evening Light Tabernacle Holy Ghost? No. The same Holy Ghost in different people's bodies, but because the flesh has an effect on us, it'll act a different way. The way we look at things because of our background can greatly be affected by that. Now, notice then Paul goes back. Let's go back, if you would, just a little bit now. In chapter 4, verse 9. And he reminds them, after that ye have known God, or rather known of God, how turn you again to weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. Now, he's overwhelmed. He said, why would you want to go back to this sort of thing? Now, and he doesn't mention pornography. He doesn't mention smoking, drinking, running around, commit adultery. But yet the world has crept into the Galatian church in the form of false teachers. The world has crept into the church to add something to the cross of Christ. I said it last week. Let me say it again this week. You are not saved by Brother Branham and Jesus, or Brother Donnie and Jesus, or your mama and Jesus. You are saved by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. You come to salvation, not through Brother Branham. That's why people can be saved before they ever hear the message. You say, totally impossible. Don't tell me. I was saved before I ever heard the name William Branham. Many of you were saved before you ever heard the name William Branham. But to come to the message of the hour, then you got to come to the messenger that God sent. But Brother Branham is not the messenger of our salvation. Oh no, that comes from the Lord Jesus. But if we're a part of the bride, then of course the prophet was sent with the message to gather the bride. But we are saved by Christ alone. We're not saved by coming to this church. You could be saved out in the barn somewhere. You could be saved out in the bar stool. Billy Andrews told me years and years ago, he was sitting at a bar stool, sitting there drinking. The Spirit of God come right there in that bar room where he was and struck his heart and said, this is your last chance. He gave his heart to God right there. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't go in a bar room, but the Holy Ghost did. Amen. I wouldn't want to be found in such a place, but God knows how to deal with His. You don't even have to be in a church to be saved, right? But yet, in order to be a part of what God wants you to do, then a church and a pastor and a prophet and all that comes into play. But notice what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to get them away from the walk with a person and substitute that walk with a person into all types of other things which will satisfy the flesh. Now listen, why? Because the flesh is still there. Now watch this, he said, but now after that you have known God, or rather known of God, how turn ye again? You all are going backwards. You're going backwards. Why would you want to go backwards into a bondage? You came out of this type of a bondage before, of heathenism, and now you've let these people tell you that. Oh my. To notice what he said, weak and beggarly elements to the rites of the ceremonies of the Jewish law, imposing a servitude really not less severe than the customs of paganism. On the word elements, it's called weak because they had no power to save the soul. Right. The Feast of Tabernacles, wonderful thing if you're a Jew. Didn't mean nothing to a Gentile. Couldn't cast out devils, couldn't heal the sick, couldn't give you peace in your heart. So they were weak and beggarly. Can you imagine them Jews when they read what Paul called weak and beggarly elements? Why were they beggarly? Because they'd make a poor man out of you, not a rich man. The blessings of Christ come to enrich our lives. But legalism makes you a beggar. You're constantly groping and grappling and looking for mercy. Can't you see why Satan wants us to live a life of legalism? Because he knows you'll never have real peace. Because you'll always make mistakes. You'll always fall short of the glory of God. And spiritually, you will be a poor man if you are held under the thumb of legalism. I don't want to be a poor man spiritually. I want to be a rich man in Jesus Christ. My, he said, why would you desire again to be in bondage? How could you prefer slavery to freedom? You were freed from such things. You know, friends, slavery is such a thing today. I know around the world, of course, naturally it's still there. But what was more sad to me is spiritual slavery. That folks become enslaved to fashion. They become enslaved to drinking and to alcohol. It's amazing that Satan studies the addictive behavior of human beings. And he knows that even in the physical makeup of dopamine and the different things that's released in the human body, that Satan knows that there's certain compounds and certain drugs and that sort of thing that will move into the human body to give them a high, a happiness, you know, a feeling. And he knows that when they do that and they take it into their body, they become addicted. He knows the addictive behavior of human beings. He knows that many a man has went to started looking at pornography, and he knows the addictive behavior that a man has to have. It. A woman gets so addicted to fashion, gets so addicted to shopping, so addicted to this and that and the other. Come on, don't get quiet on me now. Gets to why? He knows our addictive behavior. What if we could be that way about the Holy Ghost? What if we could be that way about the Word? If that's in us, and Satan, we know it as well, that children of God can become addicted to pain medicine. Children of God can become addicted to all kinds of things. What if we can become addicted to that? What about going to church? What about hearing the Word? What about loving to be in the presence of God, that I just can't live without it? My, some folks become enslaved to their ambitions of what they want. I want an education. I want a bachelor's degree. I want this. They don't care what it takes. They're going to get it. Some become in such bondage, in slavery, after they become saved. I wonder some of the folks have got so caught up in business in Happy Valley. I wonder if some of them would be better off working a 9-to-5 job, working at Walmart, living in a single wide trailer, making a whole lot less money. Where's some of them that's got into so much business? Where are they now? Don't even go to church. Don't see no need of it. Oh, but we're blessed. I don't understand that concept. So blessed we're backslid. So blessed we don't have no need to pray, no need to go to the house of God. I don't want to be that blessed, so-called. Why? Because they make more money than they've ever had in their life. And the more they make, the more they want. And then the more they want, the more money they make. And the more they make, the more they got to have to pay for all that they make. And it becomes addictive. They just can't say it. They've got to make more and more and more and more. And less and less and less of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Notice now in verse 10, he said, you observe days and months and times and years. Now they've moved from the grace of God to where now they've got a message calendar. And they've got all these days marked on their calendar now. You've got to do this and you've got to do that. Now the Feast of Tabernacles is coming up. And then the Feast of Atonement and the trumpet. Now the new moon now is coming up tomorrow. So you know they blow the shofar and they've got to do all this. He said, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? You observe the days, and the days you refer to are the days of the Jewish festivals. Had nothing to do with Gentiles. What's Celts got to do with Jewish festivals? And months, the festivals of the new moon, kept by the Jews on this festival, in addition to the daily sacrifice, 2 bullocks and a ram and 7 sheep of a year old were offered in sacrifice. What's that got to do with Christ? But it's as if though these Judaizers have instructed in their mind, this will help your Christianity. This will help your walk with God. You imagine they must have said, but what will Paul say? You better watch Paul. Now he's a good man, but here go them old goats again. But he led us to the Lord. I know he's a good man, but there's things I know about him if you only knew. Now, of course, I won't run him down and all that sort of thing, but there's just little things about him. That's all you got to do right there. You've done sowed a doubt in somebody's mind. Now watch, Paul said, you're keeping days and months and times, my, and years, the annual atonements. And now they're in the sabbatical year, and the year of Jubilee, and the year of this, and the year of that. Was this a teaching of the New Testament? It was not. So was it the God called men that were leading this back to keep these festivals? It was not. It was Judaizers. It was people that did not want to give up hanging on to Moses' law. They couldn't get up that. They could not really point to Christ Jesus all the way. They had to bring Christ and Moses together, and Jesus had fulfilled the law of Moses. So they were getting away from the person of the Lord Jesus and replacing it with days and times and weeks and months. Notice this now in verse 11. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. It shows Paul's perception of where they are. They are walking on very dangerous ground. Lord, children, if a prophet of God was to walk in this place here tonight and say, Donnie Reagan, I am afraid of you and your church. You all have added this and you've took away that. I said, oh God, Lord, help us. What have we done? What have we done that would make you afraid, oh prophet of God? Tell us. Instruct us. Give us direction so that we can get rid of this. Right? Is that the way you feel? So Paul says, I am afraid of you. You took these steps toward Christianity, and now you're taking these large steps away from Christianity back to embrace Judaism. They said, I am a Jew. I've been there and done that. And when I did it, I was not free. I was keeping the Sabbath days and killing Christians. I was doing all of these things and hunting people down like dogs. It never freed me. It will not free you. There's no way you and I can fully comprehend the way that he felt when he said this. I'm afraid of you lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. I'm afraid I have wasted my time. It appears from your behavior that I'd have been better off to have been somewhere else. It seems as if though all the preaching, all the laboring, all the crying that I've done, I'm not talking about me now, I'm talking about Paul, that every bit of that was a waste of my time. Now I know just as a pastor, which has a little bitty, tiny spot compared to a prophet, I cannot imagine how he cried and he labored. And he studied and he got along with God and waited for revelations and sought God and prayed and labored and then battled demons and then go home after night and then them demons come and battle you after you cast them out. I cannot imagine how he must have wrestled and spent so many sleepless nights and bore the criticism of his bodily afflictions, bore the criticism of his shape, of his image, of his twisted, contorted body. Looking back at all that and thinking, all of that was wasted. All of that was I've labored in vain for you churches. Lord Jesus. You see, friend, for a faithful preacher to deem that his labor is fruitless, it's one of the most heartbreaking things he can face. Why? This is his life. Because you wait really to the end of your journey to even know how effective you've been. You pastor people for 10, 15, 20 years and they turn on you and hate you and run you down. You think, my, all the meals they interrupted, all the sleepless nights I had for them, all the counseling I had for them, all of this and that and the other that you just, was that all in vain? Was it all gone? Poor Paul, can you imagine what all the people he must have consoled and the visions that he must have saw in their lives and how the Spirit of God doubted him. He said, have I done this all in vain? Has it been a complete waste of my time? Oh my. But you see, a faithful minister deems his labor in vain unless the fruit of the gospel is manifested in the lives of the hearers or the recipients. Now watch what they were doing. They were entering into, now listen, I'm not sure if you've heard this term before or not, but they were entering into a phase of will worship. Oh, I see you haven't heard that term. Okay. Colossians chapter 2 verse 20. Wherefore, if any be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not. Which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. Now watch this. In will worship. Look at this word, will. Ethelos reskia. Which worship which one prescribes and devises for himself. Contrary to the contents of nature of faith, which ought to be directed to Christ, said of the misdirected zeal and practices of the ascetics. So then, will worship is something that people institute, either added to or to replace the original program given out by the gospel and the word. Now here, these people were moving over into will worship. Now look at this. Will worship. So they were not doing this according to the dictates of the gospel, but it was something that they had been taught by the Judaizers would somehow add to what they were doing. It would enrich their lives. It would enrich the services or, you know, make them a better Christian. So they were making this a part of their life. Now remember, worship is not just this. Worship is actually the way you live every day of your life. You're worshiping and living for the Lord. So the term will worship is from a compound Greek word, ethelorheskia, which has two roots, which means ethic, to will, and threska, which has to do with religious worship. The term ethelio, to will, it conveys the impression of to seize with the mind, to have resolve or determination regarding a purpose, with perhaps an impulsive inclination as opposed to well-calculated deliberation. In classical Greek, ethelio was used as a prefix in various compounds, which suggested the idea of voluntary action, as in a voluntary agent or running voluntarily into danger. The meaning is self-chosen worship. So the word did not say, now look, now you're moving into a new covenant. You're moving into the grace covenant. So you leave all this aside. That's what they taught. But they were saying, no. We want to be able to embrace both of these and bring both of these together. Now God did not demand it. God did not ask for it. So Paul identifies anything that is not in the word or required by the word as will worship. So it is something that we bring into it and we deem that it will make it so much better and so much, oh my, y'all hearing me? Will worship. Woo. An arbitrary superstition of human invention or self-will religion rather than divine institution. Now watch this. Will worship signifies simply a mode of worship which a man chooses for himself. Cain was the first one to use will worship. Now God had a provided way of what God wanted to do, and that was revealed through Abel. Even though it was not revelation to Cain, God would have accepted him just by knowledge of the right way. Glory. He was a type, if you listen to it and understand it right. If he would have done it that way, he would have been sort of like the foolish virgin, the law type that would be accepted in simply because they followed what Abraham did. Not because it was revealed to them in the first person. But Cain, instead of doing that, he said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to bring to God what I want, when I want, the way I want. Friends, don't you understand? Laodicea is full of will worship. They bring to God what they want. That's why they've got the music that they've got in this day and the world the way they've got it. If they want to go to church in a bikini, they do. If the preacher wants to preach in shorts, he does. Why? Because they think God will accept that. It is will worship. People around the message who want to replace preachers with tapes, will worship. Because the original word does not designate such a thing, nor did Brother Branham. Don't get quiet on me now. Will worship. So we bring it in. Well, we deem it. It would be better, but I don't care what you say, what I say. We want to go back to what's the plan. What was the plan? But we want for this to be better. And we think we ought to do this. And we think donuts would really be nice down in the basement. Why, to make us all fatter than we are? Let's have a little bit of fellowship. I agree with that, but around the revealed word of the hour, not a black cup of coffee. My, Brother Donnie, you ought to put arms in these pews where we can bring our drinks in. We serve our own drinks here. Holy Ghost wine. Amen. Oh, glory. Well, you're going to think about getting in a coffee shop? No, we sure ain't. What about a Pizza Hut? No, we sure ain't. Krispy Kreme donuts? We serve lamb here. Lamb, reveal word. Hallelujah. Now watch this, the Geneva translation, which dates back to 1557, renders the word as voluntary worshiping with the text using voluntary in the sense of arbitrary. The same version in the 1560 edition has a marginal note, such as men have chosen according to their own fantasy. In other words, it is a self-contrived worship. It is worship originating in the human will as opposed to the defined arbitrary religious acts. So this worship originates in the human will, and Paul calls it will worship. You see, I used to be a will worshiper in Pentecost. If you didn't shout, you didn't have it. If you didn't dance, if you wasn't emotional, you wasn't spiritual. That was will worship. I was totally ignorant of it. Praise the Lord. Well, the message folks have went the other way. That's why they love that scripture in the book of Psalms. Be still and know that I am God. So they think, I can't worship at all that noise. I can't. I'm not sure what part of heaven you're going to live in. But heavens that don't have no low ordinance, no zones. Oh no, you're not going to live on the low noise side of heaven. I imagine it's going to be quite a place up there. When all the millions and millions of people gather together and me and David all both together, Lord have mercy. You better move on the quiet side for sure. When me and David and Solomon and Harry and Lingle and Kenneth, all the rest of these guys get together, oh my, we're going to worship, we're going to praise, we're going to shout. But what is it? We'll worship. People want worship the way they want it. Oh my. Now you see, this appeals to this Celtic background. What Celtic tribe do y'all belong to? This appeal to them. My. He doesn't mention this to the Corinthians. What's John Calvin call this worship? One which men choose for themselves at their own option without authority from God. J.H. Thayer, will worship as one who devises and prescribes for himself contrary to the contents and nature of faith, which ought to be directed to Christ. It is a form of religion which fails to maintain the true object of worship and in place of Christ selects its own objects. In other words, it takes Jesus down and puts Brother Branham up. It's a church not too far from where you're sitting around here. Wednesday night, a man showed up praying in the name of Joseph Branham. And the pastor had to call the cops on him. And he went across the street screaming at him, repent, repent, come to Lord Joseph, come to Lord Joseph. May God hide us. Friends, church ain't something to toy with. Demons hang around these things. Demons hang around these things. That's why the prophet said you better pray over what church you go to, because churches have spirits. True? You say, how in the world could anybody know? Oh, most of you would never do such a thing like that. You'd never bow down and call Joseph Branham Lord or Brother Branham God. Of course not. But don't think you're exempt from it because you don't lean that way. Satan will have another trap for you because he knows what your makeup is. So your will worship may be, I don't like loud music. I don't like this. Why do they have to sing? See, you want us to do according to your will. You want the whole church service to be according to the way you think it ought to be. And it ain't going to be that way. I'm sorry. It's not going to be that way. Why? We would be worshiping your will. Well, I think out of this and I think, no, 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 no. We want to bring it right back to the word of God. We don't want will worship. Not my will, your will, but his will. Amen. We want his will. So what is will worship? The constant effort of man to accomplish his own will. Whether for good or for bad, It is an insidious trick of the enemy to keep God's people under bondage to their own set of do's and don'ts. Well, I don't think a woman ought to wear red to church, and I don't think this, and I don't think a man ought to carry his Bible this way, and I sure don't think a man ought to wear a striped shirt. Brother Darrell wore some colored shirts to a certain meeting some time ago, and one of the preachers that was there criticized him to no end because he wore a blue shirt or whatever it was, and he said it showed his sweat too bad. You understand what that is? Will worship. A bunch of people that the word ain't good enough. They've got to put in their own ideas. So we all come back to them. It ain't working here, friend. Go. It ain't working on me. It ain't going to work on this church. We want to set this church and let the Holy Ghost be able to come among us. If it's wrong for a preacher to wear a blue shirt, please show me and I'll quit wearing one. If it's wrong to wear a yellow one, please show me. But don't come to me with I think and I feel, because I don't care what you think or what you feel. You're not my Holy Ghost, and I'm not going to institute your will worship in this church. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God. It would be the will worship of many people to turn this church into a tape church. But that is antichrist in principle. Anything that replaces the God called ministry is antichrist. I don't care who wants to do it. And it is will worship. Oh, some of you didn't like that, did you? Well, that ought to tell you where your will is. My, look at this. Traits of will worship underlying the apostasy of will worship are several godless dispositions. Will worship is arrogant, autocratic, reflects the self-inflated attitude of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who devised a worship format of his own heart. Praise the Lord. I know all we white folks think all the black folks and all the Mexicans and everybody else ought to worship like us. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If you travel around a little bit, you realize they don't. And you realize Happy Valley ain't the idol for church for nobody. We ain't the example church for nobody to worship like. Amen. I've been in different parts of the world, in different cultures of the world, and you stand there watching me, you hear them sing some of the same songs we do, and you sing, if I didn't know them words, I'd think it's a total different song. Amen. If you're down in Mexico, they do it a certain way. If you're down in South Carolina, they do it a different way. If you're over in Kenya, they do it another way. If you're over in Uganda, they do it a different way. And you think a God of variety. But what is it? Denomination. What is a denominational system? The imposing of will worship. So the board wants to impose their will. This is what we believe. This is what we'll do in our church. Anybody that don't do this will throw them out. It's the spirit of organization. It's the spirit of Cain, spirit of Balaam, doctrine of Balaam, to impose their will. Come on now, don't get quiet. Don't you understand that many pastors are turning into dictators? They want will worship. You can't go here. You can't go there. Come and approve your vacation with me. You better not go on vacation until you ask me. Lord, have mercy. Children, God ain't wanting to have a bunch of puppets. He's wanting children. God ain't wanting shepherds that are dictators. He's wanting shepherds that'll lead you to a walk with God. Will worship is a form of rebellion. Can't you see why Paul so attacked this? Why it was will worship. It was the will of Satan through the instrumentality of the Judaizers to come and interrupt the whole program of God in the entire state of Galatia. And the sad part about it was working. Satan had got some of those good, godly sheep to a place that they no longer liked their messenger. Spirits don't die, do they? You see, will worship brings us back to where I feel like we are now in the message in the book of Judges. Whenever a man does that which is right in his own eyes. I'd like to preach on that sometime. I've got quite a bit studied out there in the book of Judges, if the Lord will let me. What's this? Jesus says in Mark chapter 7, verse 6, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You see, will worship is an enslaving. This is one thing that it does. It is an enslaving and it is an imposition. It's an imposing of what people would say versus what God said to make the bride, the elect, the church, whatever you want to call it, to make them comply to what they think is the right way. God's given us all we need. If we'll live up to what this word said and this message teaches, we'll be doing really, really good, I figure. Without everybody else's idea of this and that. Well, I don't think this and I don't think that. I don't remember God sending you to give us your think. Your thing don't make no difference to me at all. I want to come right back to what does he think about it? What does he, is this what we want, children? Or do we want a church that is based on will worship? My God will be served in his own way. And he will give to us the dictates of his own desire of the way he wants to be served. Notice Jesus saying, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. What was it? Will worship. As the washing of pots and cups and many other such things you do. Now Moses never taught that. Moses never taught them to wash up to the elbow. Now Moses never taught them to go to the market to change their garment. All that was additions that had been made down through time. As additions are being made to our message. And he said unto them, full well, you reject the commandment of God that ye keep your own tradition, will worship. So by the time the God of the law came on the earth, the law didn't even look nothing like it did when he gave it to Moses on Mount Sinai. Can you imagine if the Lord tarries a few more years, what the message churches will look like? What worship will be? What preaching will be? How it will be in our ranks amidst us? Why? Because will worship will be pushed more and more and more. Oh my. So it's devised by self-will and not by God. You believe this? I don't want it, do you? Remember, two of the sons in the Old Testament, Nadab and Abihu, when they went in with strange fire before the presence of God, and God killed them right there. Why? Will worship. They deemed that God would accept it. Uzziah was stricken with leprosy. Why? Will worship. The priest tried to stop him. Don't do this. Don't get out of my way. I'm going to do what I want to do. Don't you try to stop me. What was it? Will worship. Oh my. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Worship and devotion that often becomes, listen to this in the analytical Bible expositor as I close. Worship and devotion that often becomes very popular is that which appeals to the flesh for an emphasis on food, frequent church suppers, coffee and donuts for the Sunday school class, to the intrusion of rock music, which some call contemporary church music. The flesh is appeased. And such ingredients in our music, our worship and devotion becomes very appealing to folk. It makes for a popular, though polluted, church. The extreme in sensuousness in worship, in the immoral practices that some heathen religions over the years have included in their worship. If you noticed, when you go out, you see it more, especially in larger cities. But they're having all kinds of different attractions. Special Wednesdays. And they got a clown there. He's been there for 45 years. He's called the pastor. Oh, but this is a different one, though. He has a red nose. If you notice how many of them are having two services, the contemporary service to draw the young people. Why? They have no power of God to give them anything. When we get to that place here, let's shut the doors. Let's just sell the building to somebody to turn it into a dollar store or a family dollar or a restaurant, and let's shut down the church. When we have to offer hot dogs and soup suppers and donuts and black coffee, and we have to bring in clowns, I mean other than the ones we've got, and we have to start having horse shows and all that sort of thing, it's time to quit having church. Come on! The gospel to this day ought to be the greatest drawing thing that there is in the world. Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Ghost ought to have more power and more impact than horse races and clowns and all kinds of things of the world. I believe it does to the children of God. But it's amazing how you'll find folks that sit in a message church and they just struggle from one service to another. They can't stay awake. They can't do this and that. And then they'll backslide and go to one of these charismatic cruisy churches, I call them. Oh, man, they got black coffee and they got donuts and they got cakewalks and they got all kinds of walks and they let them do this and that and the other. My, they just can't take their eyes off that preacher. Oh, they're so enthused. That scares me to death. People that could be so enthused about such trash and sit under the greatest message that has ever hit the earth and cannot stay awake. Come to church once a month. Well, whatever. I'm so glad the gospel still excites me, friends. Let's pick it up in the morning. You appreciate His grace. Let's turn now. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. It was a very solemn occasion. They could tell something was definitely different. They had had this supper since they were boys, but the atmosphere seemed to be so charged. It felt different. Jesus' expression was different. Seemed to be a human nervousness in the room and anxiety. Something was building up, but they didn't know exactly what it was. And Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me.' After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him not, when he hears or having communion, stay home. But let him examine himself, straighten up everything, and take communion." If you're not ready on Saturday night to take communion, then that tells me you wouldn't be ready if the Lord Jesus come after communion service. Because if there's something in your life that would hinder you from walking up here and taking of this bread and wine, it would certainly keep you out of the body change. Communion and delay somehow just don't work with me. Well, I'll put it off. Why? Let's fix what's right. I want heaven to know I participate in this. I want Jesus to know I participate in this. And there's nothing between me and Him that will hinder me from doing it. But let a man examine himself. And what? So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. This is the great part about it. If we would judge ourselves, and we look, but that word, Lord, there's nothing there. God, thank you. Or if there is, Lord, I repent. Then that means you will not be judged. But if you judge yourself and you're not worthy, then will not he render the same judgment? We'll bow our heads for silent prayer, if you would. We're praying for our brothers and sisters. For yourself as well. Lord Jesus, as we approach this sacred time, my God, I pray, search my heart, the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl. If there's anything there, Lord, that displeases you, make it known to us so we can make it right. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we know that this might seem so unusual and strange to some. What would a piece of bread have any significance for? But yet, Father, for those who are enlightened, we know it is a representation. It is a symbol. Just like when we are baptized, the water doesn't wash away our sins, but it's a symbol, an answer to a good conscience toward God. Father, as I take this two trays of broken pieces of bread, to us as believers, it's more than a little bit of flour that Carol mixed together this afternoon, made out of unleavened flour with no rising in it, baked it in the oven, and then standing there in the kitchen tearing it apart. But it's what it represents. Your body. Your body that was broken. Oh, Father, for us. Sanctify this bread, I pray, dear God. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, as I lift the lid off of these trays and the aroma of the wine rises from these cups. Lord, I remember years and years ago when I was in Pentecost, we used to take communion. How many times that I'd take a piece of a cracker and a little old thing of grape juice. I look back on it now, Lord, and I realize how ignorant, but I didn't know no different. That grape juice would sour and lose its ability to keep, the cracker being a salting cracker. But here I stand tonight, Lord Jesus, with the proper elements, with the right representation in my hand, this wine, which is the color crimson of your blood. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, cleanse us from will worship. Oh, Lamb of God, as we partake of this bread and wine tonight, Lord, may the presence of the Holy Spirit come among us. We don't understand how, but we know that there is healing, even healing, in communion. When you gave it to Moses and the children of Israel, Lord God, the scripture says there was not one sick or one weak or one feeble one among them. There was something in obeying that word and eating lamb. They'd ate lamb all their life, no doubt. Eat bread all their life. But there's something about eating the same thing in the divine will of God that brings a body change. Lord Jesus, sanctify this wine tonight. When they press this little cup to their lips, Lord, may they realize the symbolism of your precious, dear blood. Grant it, I pray, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Lord Jesus.
We worship you tonight, Lord. Oh, Lamb of God. Precious Lord. Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Jesus. precious, Lord. St. John 13. Supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord. You say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that has sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Sisters, we'll go to the fellowship hall, and the brothers will remain here. God bless you.
Thank you.
Just sing it together. Stand together, hallelujah.
My eyes to Calvary. Oh, to view the cross where Jesus died for you. Has it been good to be in church tonight? Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Remember service in the morning at 11 o'clock. Let's just come back looking for another good dose to camp meeting. It's good to be in camp meeting, isn't it? Sing it as you leave tonight. He looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. I appreciate that, don't you? I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, just to view the cross where Jesus died for you.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. You can be dismissed. God bless you. Service here in the morning at 11 o'clock. Let's just come back looking to what God will do for us. God is good all the time. Let's just sing. Yes, God is good. I know He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. No greater friend you'll find. He's not good just once in a while, but He's good.
Yes, He is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. No greater friend you'll find. He's not good just once in a while, but He's good.